And welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer, where we equip churches to move from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Revitalize and Replant is brought to you by the North American Mission Board.
Welcome to episode number 119. My name is Tom Rainer, and I am joined as always, and here's how we say it. When we're having an even episode, an even keel one, it's Mark Clifton, but all the odd episodes are Kevin Heisel. So if you want to go to the odd episodes, start at 115 and just skip 117, and this will be 119.
Does it make us like the odd couple?
Ooh, which one are you? You're Felix.
Right. We're dating ourselves now, right?
I'm Oscar. There is no doubt that I'm Oscar and you're Felix in all of this. Maybe some people will know. I mean, we'll find out. We're going to talk today on Revitalize and Replant, and this is probably the perfect opportunity to do so. We've got the president of the North American Mission Board is now part of this podcast, and though the North American Mission Board is not the exclusive church replanter in the world, it is... I don't know of one that is more significant. I'll just put it that way.
We feel like we're making a big impact, and Mark Clifton is a big part of that.
He is a big part of it. And Mark and I are texting on a regular basis, and I just love his spirit, and I just love his heart, and I love his passion for replanting. But we want to talk about why church replanting is becoming a movement today.
Right.
If you had told me 10 years ago that one of the greatest movements in the North American continent, maybe eventually globally, was going to be a replanting movement, I would say, huh?
Yeah.
But now North American Mission Board is at the forefront of this. It's absolutely incredible. I'm seeing a revitalization movement.
Right.
And basically the revitalization movement is people raising their hand and saying, I need help.
Right.
The replant movement is we need someone else.
Right.
Someone to come in and take us in a new direction. So a church is on the precipice of death, or at least the trajectory is such you can see that death is coming, and they say, we need to be started, and it's usually an external force, another church coming in to replant it. This is becoming a movement. I'm dominating the conversation when I want to hear from you, and we're already at 2 minutes, so I'll make this quick. But Sam Rainer at West Bradenton Baptist Church started a ministry relationship with a dying church called Southside Baptist in Bradenton, 2 miles from his existing church. And they just went in to love him. They had no thoughts of anything. They said, we can't even find a preacher. They were down to a dozen, I think, people. We can't find a preacher. So he has an intern program, so he sent him a regular preacher. Well, can you send us a few people to help lead music? Yeah, we can do that.
Right.
And they just... The relationship began. After a year, Southside said, you know, it's probably best that we just become a part of West Bradenton.
Yeah.
And he called it adoption.
Yeah.
A newspaper called the Florida Witness just did a long story on this, what he did. So they adopted the church, and they're officially a part of West Bradenton. I am not sure that Sam Rainer, my son, the pastor of that church, would have even had that in his strategic possibilities, if not for NAM, if not for people like you who have told us that this is a really good option that would not have been considered some time ago. Wow. So I'm thinking about all the influence you've had on our family, on me, and that's just yet another one where you have been such a major force in replanting that you even affect my son.
Well, you're kind. I really, if you would mail this episode to my mother, she'd really appreciate it.
I'm going to mail it to your wife after episode number 115.
No, I appreciate. You know, it's incredible. I love the stories like that because there's one of the most aggressive churches we have in New Orleans. It was a church plant they were using as Presbyterian church at night.
Yeah,
and the Presbyterian pastor left. The church was dying, and they went to our church planter and said, "Hey, could you just?" But I hate to ask, but could you preach the same sermon to us on Sunday morning? And he said, well, sure, I'd be glad to. So he started doing that. And it was a year into it. They said, look, we just want to deed the property over to you. And you guys, let's just start doing this together. You guys are a lot like us. And sure enough, when they went down through the Baptist Faith and Message, they combined. And now it's one of the more aggressive churches we have in New Orleans. It's incredible. And they gave us a multi-million-dollar facility to do it.
So and started immersing, I assume.
Oh, yeah, exactly. No, exactly. Thanks for helping bail me out on that one. Yeah, exactly. But it was just amazing how, I mean, they saw the need And God, there really is a movement. And I think some of it's the blinders are coming off, people saying, look, we have to do something or we're going down the drain here.
That's key. That's key.
The blinders. Then you've got churches like Sam Pastor's who are willing to take on satellite campuses or to bring them under and love and care. And a lot of it's built on the relationship. I mean, if there's trust that's developed there and they see that you're really wanting to be a gospel lighthouse and it's not about just taking on assets, then...
If you say, I want to get into the acquisition mode, you're probably in it for the wrong reason.
Yeah. If the first thing you say is, so approximately how much is this property worth?
Can I see your bank statement?
Yeah, exactly. That's not a good thing.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about why it's becoming a movement. We've alluded to this. It has become a powerful solution for dying churches. Yeah. There was a movement that was taking place. It was one aspect of the church planting movement. I shouldn't call it the church planting movement because that might be confused with something official. But the growth of church planting where some people would say, just let dying churches die. And maybe there are cases for that. But now more and more we're saying, let's let dying churches be replanted.
Right.
So one of the reasons behind it is it's become a solution to dying churches.
Absolutely. Man, like so much you talk about in Rainier and Leadership, it's about leadership.
Yes.
And so they've got the right facility in the right place, just not the right leader.
Yes.
And to have the courage to say, okay, look, we're in a transition time. It's a good time to really evaluate everything. And is there a better way to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And we are stronger together, we say, in a lot of different contexts. And what some have realized, that even if they come alongside and allow, you know, another church that is strong, stable, and to come and say, look, let's just be a satellite of this. The rest of the world has figured this out. Companies have diversified, and they've gone and my word, you know, we're gone beyond the fax machine. You can do a lot of creative things now, and I really think people are finally getting the point. Used to they weren't open to doing this until they couldn't pay their light bill,
and now, that was usually too late.
And now hopefully, and I think just the success of these, and now there are many of our churches are getting calls every month.
I bet Jimmy Scroggins gets all kind of calls.
Every month, multiple, because they've seen the success. Hey, look, I want to be like that, or that's our ticket out of death here. And
I was talking to leadership of Sandals Church in the California area.
Yeah.
They came to see me while I was in Bradenton, and they've got kind of a movement going on.
Absolutely. We're partnering with them.
Within California. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic to hear how churches like that are just taking the mantle. But I still think that your leadership in North American Mission Board and raising this up, not only to be acceptable, but to be a proactive strategy, is being huge in this movement.
Well, you know, part of it, I think, is taking some of the shame out of it. Giving churches like, look, there is legitimate options here other than giving this facility away to somebody we don't know.
Yeah.
And or letting it become townhouses. I mean, so many developers are wanting the term lofts. Churches are actually a big seller in lofts. I talked to a developer the other day, and people love that.
So we're competing with developers who want to make a few bucks on loft sales.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. You know, one of my favorite pizza places in Lexington, Kentucky is in a church, old church right there by Rupp Arena, you know?
Really?
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, man, how many of these are all over North America that are now lofts or restaurants when it's in a very strategic location, just they just need a leader.
Yes. And in Sam's church's case, Southside, it wasn't they had the wrong leader. They had no leader. They couldn't get anybody to come.
Yeah. And what I found is, and I know some cases where a church has adopted, if you will. There's foster care and there's adoption in churches. And it began to grow. And the pastor realized that location is far more strategic than where I'm at.
Wow.
And he actually said, look, I'm going to primarily focus over there, and I'm going to raise up somebody to take this over.
That's incredible. That is incredible. We often mention this, but I just want to emphasize it a little more. One of the reasons church replanting is becoming a movement is because when these churches are replanted, the community is transformed.
Absolutely.
And the community may not have even been touched by the existing church for years.
Yeah. You know, what I've found is the people in the community actually are rooting for you. You know, it's just like in your neighborhood, they take a defunct Kmart and turned it into a really nice venue.
Yes.
Well, that ups everybody. You feel better about your community. And they may not have a spiritual motivation for rooting for you, but they'd rather see something live and engaging than something that's obviously dying and deteriorating.
Well, then that church begins to do ministry in the community, maybe ministry it has not done. All of a sudden people saying, I've never heard of you. Now look at what's going on.
Yeah, and make a real difference. I think sometimes we just overlook that there's needs in the shadow of our own steeples. And sometimes people are so interested. I'm all for international mission trips. I'm all for national mission trips. But sometimes, you know, every day is a mission trip if you read the book of Acts and
yes,
read the Bible.
Exactly.
And there are needs in their community that we just so often overlook. My wife went to the DFACS, the Department of Children and Family Services, and said, hey, what is it we can do to help you?
When was this?
Oh, this is just a few months ago.
Okay.
And she said, and the lady about started crying, and she said, you know, no one's ever come and asked us what we needed. They normally just come and tell us what they have and see if we want it.
Oh, wow.
And you know, we just got to get to where we see the community and identify what the real needs are and meet those needs.
Sam's story, I won't belabor it, but I will just say one more thing. Talked about his church ultimately adopted Southside, so it is now a part of West Bradenton Baptist Church.
Yeah.
It started because it was a good focal point to reach the homeless community.
Yeah.
And they were reaching a lot of the homeless community. Why is there a homeless community? Because there's a meth problem.
Yeah.
There's drug addiction.
Right.
And there's a lot of homelessness. What is that leaving? That's leaving a lot of kids without parents.
Yeah.
So one of the largest fostering churches anywhere is his church, including he has a foster kid as well. So one thing, homelessness, led to pre-planting, led to foster care, and a lot of adoptions taking place,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely. And sometimes in those communities where it's very hard for a church to become self-sustaining, there's a reason that they're in the condition they are. If you come underneath the ministry of another church to adopt or foster, that provides resources that they could never otherwise provide themselves.
Exactly.
And
it's a movement. I just get pumped thinking about this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, community colleges came up with it years ago. Like, let's put these satellite campuses, banks, you know, they don't have one bank. You got all these different places all over town. And man, finally, you know, typically we catch on. We're just a few decades late. But we've got a long way, you know, we still have a long way to go. There's a lot of churches out there sucking wind.
Do you know my story about multi-site? You're going to hear it whether. I mean, that's really rhetorical because the only answer you have is no, Tom, tell me.
Yeah, that's right.
I was at Green Valley in Birmingham. We didn't adopt a church, but we were landlocked. We were at multiple capacities, and I didn't see any option. And I asked this question. This was in 91, I think. I asked this question, why can't we just go have another site?
Yeah.
That was 1991.
Yeah.
And I remember one deacon said over my body.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that'd be a win-win. I should have said that. But we ended up starting we were in the Hoover area, South Birmingham. Mm-hmm. We ended up starting another site in Shelby County, about 5 miles to our south, in a storefront. And they said, part of the Southern Baptist Convention, Southern Baptists never do this. We just don't do this.
Yeah.
The only church I knew that was doing anything like that was Perimeter in Atlanta.
Yeah, they were one of the first. Mm-hmm.
And so I did it just because we didn't have any more room. It just made sense.
Right.
Even more so with adoption or replanting, even more so because you're taking something that's dying and bringing it back life.
No, absolutely. And man, we're in a really desperate time of we have to make some significant changes. We're losing so many buildings and places of gospel influence because we're not being creative.
Yeah, Mark Clifton will say quite often on this podcast, and Sam has said it on the other podcast, the address of your church is not an accident. Yeah. You were put there in that community for a purpose. And unless the rare exception where it becomes industrialized and there are no people,
there's
usually always a presence to reach people.
Yeah, and you know, people, we just gotten so set and we just got to be creative. I love that scene in Apollo 13 where he come in there, they throw the stuff on the table and failure is not an option.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. It's like, you know, that's the kind of mentality we have to approach this. It's like, look, failure is not an option. You can't just say, well, there goes another one. We've got to be aggressively, and it's a part of it's building relationships with those and seeing if you could come along. And I think if pastors would at least approach their community, like, how can I help these other churches? Period. How can I just help them?
Period. That's it. And let God do what he will.
Let what happens, happens. But we just don't come open-handed enough. Sometimes it's with ulterior motives or trying to force something and just let it happen.
Yep. One of the big reasons there's a church planting movement is because there's NAM. You're not exclusive to the church planting, replanting movement, I should say. You're not exclusive to it. Your organization has been a force in it, a major, major force. And one of the reasons there's a movement is because institutions have begun to embrace both replanting and revitalization. Mm-hmm. You've got seminaries that have degrees in this.
Right.
You have our sister organization from Church Answers, the Revitalized Network, where we help churches revitalize. You have organizations, but North American Mission Board is at the forefront of this. As you have been leading North American Mission Board, have you thought through about the legacy, the history of what is happening under your leadership here? Probably not.
No, not at all. I did what I love, though, is legitimizing things that used to be looked down on. I think sometimes a guy goes to a revitalization or a replant, they'd say, well, he couldn't get a church.
Yes.
And he couldn't get a church. They wouldn't pass him on the church planter assessment, and so he did that. Now we've got some of the highest capacity leaders choosing to do revitalization. And that in itself, they look around and see other high capacity leaders doing this, and it's just like church planting years ago. When I was going through seminary, I mean, you become a church planter if you couldn't get a church. Hmm. And I mean, you could always, you know, that'd be an option.
Wow.
And now—
It's not that easy, though.
Now it's not that way. And somebody to revitalize is like being not just a doctor, but you have to have a specialty. Not everybody has the temperament.
That's why you do assessments for replanting.
Absolutely. But you legitimize the thing, saying, look, there's some guys who actually have the gifting to do that.
Yes.
And that's something you should target. It's some of the sweetest stories I hear when I talk to these guys and their spouses to see, man, dead things come alive. You know, there was something not going to be there. Now there is because God put them there and they made a difference.
And you bring up one of the key points that we talk about when we talk about this movement. You've said it. More young pastors are being called to replant or revitalize.
Absolutely. And you know what I found, too, is there are some pastors, seasoned pastors, who say, you know, I think I got one more in me. These guys are having too much fun. I really, you know as well as I do. I pastor a church of seven. You pastor a church of seven, although mine was unanimous.
You're six to one. I know that.
But
she was the first one to die. I just want to remind you of that.
That's right. Whether it's seven or 700, you know, or if it's thousands, at some point, the numbers— you know, it's like cotton candy. It just fades. It's no more exciting. I was saying, pastoring 2,000 was 3,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
And these guys saying, look, I've got one more in me. I want God to use me to make a difference, not just accumulate more people in one spot.
Ooh, that's a good point.
And
as far as aging boomers, there might be a number of us that go into a replant or revitalization.
Oh, absolutely. And we just had a couple pass the assessment in New York City who were International Mission Board missionaries, retired, came back, and now they're planting a church and a people group in New York.
Wow, that's exciting.
We have that in church planting, but also in revitalization all over. And the other thing, too, is the churches so often, they quickly trust a more seasoned pastor.
That's a good point.
And so I just encourage you, hey, it's never too late to be a part of a revitalization or a replant. I mean, don't count yourself off, man. There's no retirement age in this.
Yeah, you're right about that. I think I've discovered it, too. So you got all of these reasons for a replant, but one of the big reasons is it's just good stewardship.
Oh, absolutely.
You've talked about using the resources of a healthier church. I mean, it's incredible stewardship.
Oh, my word. Millions and millions of dollars of buildings that are not being maximized and used. I mean, how many auditoriums do you see the maximum capacity of something, and then they have just a pittance of a few in it? And my word, the stewardship, God's given us these. We just got to be wise in helping you know, say flip them in a way that's going to be very productive and efficient. And that's what's so exciting to me is like all these things. I see a church right now in Des Moines, Iowa, that was basically dying out. They're running hundreds and have a ministry to DeCoin, the university right there in DeCoin. I mean, it's just incredible.
Wow. Wow. One other thing, and before we wrap this up, you're seeing more healthy churches or relatively healthy. Healthy is always a relative term. Become replanting or revitalization. Let's see, either adopting or fostering one of the two.
Yeah, sending church, absolutely.
So now leaders are getting the vision, institutions are getting the visions, individuals are getting the vision, and churches are getting the vision.
Exactly.
That's why this thing is a movement.
Yeah.
And I think when the footnote is written about you, and maybe it'll be a chapter instead of a footnote, this will be one of the most significant things said about your leadership.
Well, you're kind.
No, nobody ever accuses me of being kind. But
well, you lie.
Okay. No, I'm not lying either. It's just facts. It's just fact. Thank you, as always, to the North American Mission Board, who sponsors Revitalize and Replant. We also are sponsored by ChurchReplanters.com. More than 10% of churches in North America are at the risk of closing, and the North American Mission Board, you'll hear us call it NAMB, N-A-M-B, from time to time, is committed to reversing this trend by decreasing the death rate of existing churches while simultaneously increasing the birth rate of new churches. To learn more about what it means to become a replanting pastor or to explore resources for replanting and revitalizing in your own church, visit ChurchReplanters.com or check the show notes and you'll see all of these links and this information as well. Once again, thank you to Kevin Ezell, who is our odd man. That means he's on the odd episodes of Revitalize and Replant. He will be coming back on episode number 121, and we're going to talk about scorecards. Now, what is it we should be keeping records of? Fascinating topic, but we'll talk about that later. Thank you again for being on Revitalize and Replant, where we're helping replant, revitalize, and grow healthy churches together.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer. If you'd like to learn more about re-energizing your church to reach your community, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play or in your favorite podcasting app. For additional resources on church leadership and to join the conversation online, visit TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.